All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Bry, and Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
You can catch these guys on extrapoints.com every single day. They're giving out free picks. And Harry insisted that I tell you he has hit four in a row. I don't know how it's happening, Harry. A barrage of curse words, swear words on our texts from what you're losing money left and right, but you've somehow hit four in a row on extrapoints.com.
Fortunately, I'm not, I haven't straight betted them. I'm just giving out one pick, obviously, and I'm 4 for 4, but my parlay is just, it's one thing or another that falls apart, but still 4 picks in a row and going back to the NBA tonight.
Yes, we have a little break from college basketball. I think I'm glad we have a break here. I mean, I got to say, Bry, Darren, I love football. It's my favorite sport to watch. It's my favorite sport to bet on. But I feel like I have it in check in terms of not chasing. Like, if I lose bad early in the late afternoon games, I'm like, all right, it's a loss for the most part. I won't double up or triple up on the Sunday night game. But these basketball games, they do something different to me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the way the games are stacked the first weekend. Yes. But I'm like, all right, a 12-point favorite just went down. That ain't happening again, right? And 20 minutes later, no, okay, if it happened again, it's not happening again at 3:45. Like, I'm just out of control. Bry, Darren, you feel the same way? It's just
feel the same way, Sal. I feel like for me, at least, and I think brother Bry would say the same thing. We do that constantly in UFC. It's like the same thing, right? Because it's like you might lose early and then you just chase the whole rest of the night. Same thing with this NCAA basketball. Just the way it's, everything is staggered. The games are perfectly timed. You could jump on something else. When you think, this one's done already. Let me jump on this one. And it really just seems to snowball too. Like it just doesn't seem to work out, right? It just never works out.
It's a weird, if you took an analytics or a statistics class, you would immediately, within one session, you would learn that it's just not the case that if one thing happens, okay, the other thing is going to happen the next time. But, and after 30 years of gambling, I haven't learned this. And whether it's blackjack or roulette or whatever it is, like, it's still in your mind. Like, yeah, all right, well, big favorites, big favorites, big favorites. There's going to be an underdog next or the opposite. I can't shake myself of that. Bry, I know you're in the same boat, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm chasing. Somehow I've managed to, I thought I was going to get really killed this weekend, especially with Illinois. I didn't get too killed. I guess I chased okay. But, you know, when you're chasing, you're not only chasing men's basketball, I am chasing women's basketball. There was women's games later than men's yesterday. So I'm putting money on Oregon last night. I'm putting money on UCLA after I lost some of the men's game. For the women, I'm putting on UCLA. So I am chasing with everything.
You are. Yeah. He's bisexual when it comes to betting on these sports. He doesn't care.
Well, Sal, you know, you and I over for many years have gone over the schedule when this when the tournament happens. And normally always, I know it's different this year with the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But normally they would play an early game out for the second round games, and then they start in with two or three games in the after that. Now they've gone one game in the morning or early game, and then one again, and then hit you with the games not till afterwards to have double games. I don't know. So you're basically only betting one game, then another game, and then you get to load up on all the games to load up on if you're chasing again.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, I want you to isolate that, and I'm going to try to listen to that 15 times and see if that makes sense. So there's one game.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, no, I don't know what you're saying. How's anyone supposed to know what you're
saying? Instead of after playing one game, then there's two games or three games at the same time, there's only one game, then there's only one game again, and then they load up after.
Joel Solomon.
I love the one, the one, the one.
One more time, Aaron. The one. I don't understand. How does this pertain to what we're saying, doubling up? There's eight games.
Because now there's more games to bet on later on after you lose the first two. If you lose the first
two. I see. Okay. So it's worse.
Well, I meant for an example of Illinois the other day. You guys were all over Illinois. So you got smoked. And now you can only go one game because the next game is only a one game instead of two or three games at the same time. So now you got to wait and hopefully you win the second game until Now, if you lose that, you got to triple up all over the place.
Wow. All right. Anyway, this is it's rationale like that, which explains why our degenerate trifecta Cinderella scholarship contest went down in spectacular fashion. So here's what I did. I said,
meanwhile, I'm the one who gave out North Texas.
Meanwhile, you didn't take North Texas, so I don't know what you're bragging about here. But I asked these guys to take a Cinderella team. That's simply what I said. I didn't say anything about a 12 seed. But as it turns out, they each took a 12 seed. The Parlay Kid took Georgetown. Bro the Bri took Winthrop. Harry took UC Santa Barbara. And the idea is we were going to assign a student to each of those schools. And last week on Against All Odds, we had those students on. They're very nice people. And they had so happened to be 12 seeds, and we're very all over the 12 seeds, which were minus 370 that a 12 seed would advance. And the first one did advance, and it was Oregon State. Unfortunately, the other three went down. and so instead of they're getting $500 per win, they get nothing. I don't know, Joel, what are we doing? Or Jim, we're sending them $100 or maybe Harry's explanation of the schedule on tape. I don't know what are we sending these people? I think they're getting $100.
They're getting $100 each, and hopefully Harry will take them to dinner next time they're in Arizona. I don't know.
Joel will give them a Dennis Rodman T-shirt each, and then we'll send them on the way. But that was sad, and yet so predictable. Why didn't we take the 12 seeds?
Well,
we should have parlayed your guys for and against your 12 seeds.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you said that immediately. Once Oregon State won that first game, because they were the first one, you said, the next three are going to lose, aren't they? And we're all like, yep.
Yeah, there was no doubt, right? So I think we were encouraged to take 12 and up, right? So
yeah, right.
We're thinking of the 12 seed has historically done very well. So fine. We'll help people out. We'll basically all take a 12 seed. And that's what we would do. And who would have thought that? Well, we all would have thought that we would all go 0-3. It figures. We apologize. Our apologies to the three students that came on. That was terrible.
It was Mike and but Harry, what was your student's name? Good. See, this is why we can't win. There's no concentration at all. There's Mike? No dedication.
No, mine was Mike.
No, everyone wasn't named Mike, Harry. For God's sakes. Let's pile on the misery. We have a hotline now. Jim Cunningham, Hill producer, got us a hotline at 818 too, Valley number. It's not so easy to get. 818-208-1681, 818-208-1681. It's one whining moment. We can't be the only ones losing out there. Leave us a bed ache or a bad beat and get emotional, and we'll play it to the music, the one shining moment music. We call it one whining moment. 818-208-1681. So far, Jim, who is on there? It's just some guy who took Harry to dinner or something, right?
Yeah, there's been a couple people, but one guy went to dinner with Harry, apparently.
Interesting. Do you remember this, Harry?
Oh, yeah. That was Mastro Steakhouse. Great time.
He's actually right.
Is that right? That's what the guy said. All right. So I don't know that that guy was passionate or lost enough or whatever, but one whining moment.
Duke graduate.
818-208-1681.
I can guarantee you Harry did not lay a penny down for that meal either. Harry?
No way. He probably vomited on the table. Yeah. Nothing? He's not even saying anything. All right. Now that we've heard about how bad we all are, now it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call bed aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bed ache. It's a bed ache. It's a bed ache.
All right. Well, with all the bragging Harry wants to do, 4 in a row on extrapoints.com, he claims he didn't screw us in this Cinderella scholarship contest. He thought he was misled into picking a 12 seed where he had all kinds of 13s and 14s as winners. But anyway, it's not all Skittles and rainbows for you, Harry, right? Give us your bed ache. You have a lot here, don't you?
I do. I took a money line parlay on the second day. And I took, on Saturday, and I had Atlanta Hawks +190 on against the Lakers without LeBron. They win the game early in the afternoon. I had Abilene Christian +345 on the money line against Texas wow, that was fantastic. For all the pressure in the world on that kid at 47% free throw shooter, he makes both to beat Texas, which is, of course, amazing. And then UC Santa Barbara, who I had in the contest, at plus 290 on the money line, winning the whole game, outplayed Creighton pretty much the whole game. And that all the kid had to do is extend his arm a little bit more for that layup with 3 seconds to go. They win the game. It goes off the rim. Lose. That was about $700. And then on yesterday, I needed on a parlay for $500. I had a great parlay. I had UCLA money line, Michigan money line, and under on a 17.5 point for Zhu Zhang for the UCLA at 17 points. I had Dickinson for Michigan.
Over rebounds.
Over rebounds. Right? I had Wagner over 13.5 points. All I needed was Franz Wagner for over 2.5 assists. He had 2 assists in the first 6 minutes of the game. So I'm not even looking at that. I'm not even sweating it because he was only had 6 points at halftime. And brother Bri, I know, needed him too because he had him over 1.5 on 3-pointers. So I was rooting for Bri and we were trying to get points. But I wasn't even worried about the over-under and the assists. He doesn't get an assist the rest of the game. $500 because he didn't get another assist. He had 2 assists in the first 6 friggin' minutes.
He needed 3. He had 2 in the first. Harry, let me ask you, are you a real person? I'm just looking. It just hit me now that I might just be imagining a lot of this. All right, think about
that. I hope my account that I bet with isn't real. That's what I hope.
It is. Unfortunately, it is. All right, think about it. You don't have to answer just yet. All right, brother Bri, what's your betting?
Well, yeah, I had a nice streak going during the week on my extrapoint.com picks. I think I had 6 in a row. I needed a Wieskamp or Wieskamp, however you say it, for Iowa under 15.5 points against Grand Canyon. He had gone under in this number for like 6 of his last 7 games. The game was never really in doubt, but Wieskamp had 14 points with 15 minutes left in the game. He was getting to the line a lot, but with a minute left, he still hadn't scored. So I'm like, wow, I can't believe this bet is actually going to win. They're up 13 at this point in time. Grand Canyon misses a shot, gets a rebound, then of course hits a 3 with, I think, 34 seconds left. They're down 10 now, Grand Canyon. On the inbound, they end up fouling Wieskamp. Goes to the line, drains the first one, drains the second one, goes over. Those are the last points of the game.
Terrible.
So he scores 16. It goes over the 15.5. And I'm going nuts because it was one of those things, you think it's going to be a loser. And then you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm going to win this. And then it's like, holy shit, I can't believe I lost that there.
All right.
That gets into the, whether or not you foul. I guess if you're Grand Canyon, I guess if you're down 10 with 30 seconds, it's your last game of the year. I guess maybe you try and extend it. I don't know. It's one of those things that's weird.
Also, you're Grand Canyon, so anything goes. My God. So. All right, Parlay Kid, take it to the ice.
Yeah, a little NHL action here. So with everything else going on, I've actually been pretty good with my hockey stuff. But I loaded up. I didn't really load up in terms of money-wise. I stood a chance of winning a lot of money at an 8-team hockey parlay on Saturday night. So you got a picture, like on Saturday night, we're watching basketball, but I'm also into this NCAA wrestling tournament, which I'm glad to hear we're all fans of NCAA wrestling right now, it seems.
It's fun.
Like. I think we all kind of bonded over that. But I hit my first.
I didn't.
Harry. Harry's the only one. Harry's the only one. So I hit my first 7. This seems to happen more than you think with people who play parlays. So I'm 7 for 7. I got a 25-1 parlay playing out. I have the Carolina Hurricanes to defeat Columbus. I'm not watching the game. I'm just following the game, literally like minute by minute on my phone while watching everything else, especially now in the third period. Carolina goes up 2-1 in the third. They give up a goal with 30 seconds left. It's 2-2. Now, we've talked about before, I've been terrible in overtime. I've been in such a bad streak. I think I had lost like 8 straight hockey games that I bet that went into overtime, right? So I'm like, this is not a good sign. Well, anyway, in the overtime, Carolina scores. Okay, they score. I see it. I check. I'm looking because after what happened to Harry with the ESPN app, I check like multiple apps. 3-2, Carolina wins. I win. This is a good win for me because I got Carolina on a few different things, including a 25-1 thing. I don't know what it is, but 30 minutes later, I'm just looking at my phone and see that it says 3-2 Columbus. So now what am I doing? So now I got to go back to like the play-by-play. I'm looking at like the minute-by-minute, like what's happening here. So as it turns out, the goal got overturned, but it literally took them at least 5 minutes to overturn the goal. Many tweets out there saying, you know, Carolina won. So goal gets overturned.
You gotta go to like the Library of Congress and like look this up.
Now I'm digging it up. Like, what the heck just happened? So as it turns out, not Carolina loses, but they also had a power play the last 2 minutes of that overtime. So it's a 4-on-3 distinct advantage in overtime. Don't score. Go into the shootout. Go up 2-0 in the shootout and lose.
Oh, come on.
That's right.
What?
How does this? Yes. And they lose the game. They lost. They went up 2-0, but it was goal, no goal, 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 no goal, goal, no goal, goal. I lose.
1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Brian, what are the live odds on a team up two goals in the shootout? Oof.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be like
1,500 minus or more.
Yeah, minus 2,000.
It was a bad one. And especially because I had chalked it up. Like I said, I chalked it up as a win. I was a good 30 minutes into chalking it up as a win. So that was a tough one. I know that took a little long for me to get out.
I don't even know what the moral of the story is. That's all right. You feel better though, right?
No, not at all. We never feel better about talking. Like, this isn't like you go to some therapy session and you could talk about it and you feel better about it afterwards, you know?
Yeah. Why do we do this? All right, Jim, play the music and make us feel good again.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
Yes, Bet Eggs brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets all season long. PropSwappers have been buying and selling teams like Loyola and pocketing thousands of dollars every day. PropSwap is offering the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors. And all sports books have Baylor at like 3-1 odds. Baylor selling on PropSwap at 6-1. For new customers, use the promo code ODDS, O-D-D-S, when you make your deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. Oh, poor PropSwap. You know, I did this thing where I loved Illinois. I loved them at least to get to the Final Four or something. So we picked 10 people in conjunction with PropSwap. We gave them $1,000 tickets for Illinois to win. It paid like 10-1, I think. 11. You were going to get $1,100 back. 10 people, 10 lucky people. As it turns out, they were unlucky because they couldn't beat Sister Jean and this freaking Loyola team. Let's go to the Saturday games. Loyola, 6.5, 125.5 over Oregon State. First of all, Parlay Kid, I think that you and I have the most to lose with Illinois. It felt that way on the text exchange, but they never got out of the gate. They got blown out of the gym. They got beat in the second half. They didn't even win the second half. And you were right. Like, you think the athleticism would take over at some point. There would be a run, right? That's at least what you could count on most of the time with having the athleticism edge, that they're going to go on like a 9-0 run or something. Just never happened. Kofi Coburn was destroyed inside. Krutwig became the America's darling, and they got crushed.
It was never a ball game, and that's why I said, you know, I'm not a coach killer. The only coaching I really had a problem with this weekend was Illinois. It just doesn't seem like there was one adjustment really made ever in that game. I think the coach just kind of sat back thinking, we're going to go on this run eventually. Yeah. It never came, and he got,
Darren
coach did a masterful job.
Yeah. Darren, it goes to say what we said about when we talked to Tate, too, about the coaching, you know, about not having a press, not ever. I mean, when you're Illinois and you're number one and you're the big dog on the block, you have to be able to have some sort of press to make some turnovers. They don't do that anymore. It's such a waste. You get paid millions of dollars.
Whoa.
And you don't have a press to where you can force turnovers against a team that's supposedly a lot smaller than them.
I hope Brad Underwood goes after Harry this week in a press conference.
We talked about this with Tate. It's a lost art. Why don't teams have full court presses anymore? Isn't that part of the game?
I don't know. Maybe Brad. I hope he takes you to task. This nobody.
Furman got roasted, but he didn't know what he's talking about. At least I know what I'm talking.
Furman has had a lot of backing, apparently, according to him, and University of Nevada. Whatever. Well, I'm not going to get into it. But so anyway, Loyola 6.5-point favorite. These are Saturday Sweet 16 games. We'll have four. We'll go over the Saturday games today. Thursday, we'll go over the Sunday games. Loyola 6.5-point favorite. The over under is 125.5. Oregon State is the underdog. Brother Bry, you are taking Oregon State. This freaking Pac-12 is what, 9-1 now? This is insane what they're doing.
Freaking crazy, man. Oregon State plus 6.5. I think the line is a little high. I mean, look, I'm scared to death of Loyola, right? So Porter Moser is just amazing coach, throws so many different variations at you, whether it's offensively, defensively. They're super efficient. Kid Krutwig is like, you know, Jokic, even in worse shape, you know. So, but to me, 6.5 points is a lot. Like, you got to love Loyola. I think at this point, you have to love Loyola as an underdog. You just have to go with them. As a favorite, though, of 6.5, I think it's too big. Like Oregon State, you know, recently they've been on some run, right? So they beat three really good teams in the Pac-12 in their conference tournament. They beat even USC during the season. They dominated the first two games in this tournament so far. They've defended well. They've gotten a lot of contributions, whether it's the kid Thompson or Lucas. Usually those kids hit a big shot when they need it. I think the one thing with this game versus especially the Sunday game against Illinois is it's definitely beneficial if you have a week to prepare against, I think, Loyola, right? Like the teams like Loyola and Syracuse, I think if you only have a day to prepare, it's really tough. So the fact that they're getting that full week, I think just 6.5 points just seems a lot for a team like, you know, Oregon State's playing so well. And obviously the Pac-12 is actually a very good conference at this point. So I think it's too many points. So I got to go with Oregon State, even though I'm scared to death of Loyola.
So tough because both teams are 5-0 against the number in the last five. But Harry, I agree with you here. You like the under second ranked defense in the country for Loyola. Yep. Defensive battle. I could see it like 63-60 somewhere in there. You like the under as well.
Yeah, under 125.5. The Ramblers very methodical on how they get the job done, especially defensively. Against Georgia Tech in the first round, forced 12 turnovers. They shot 30% from three-point range, Georgia Tech did. Illinois, 17 turnovers, shot 28% from three. Loyola, 30 games this year, 25 of them, they held the opponents 60 points or under, and almost half, 13 games, 52 points or under. Meanwhile, Oregon State's defense been fantastic guarding against the three. First, they beat held Tennessee to just 56, held Cade Cunningham to just 6-20 shooting. Three-point shooting in the Brian mentioned the Pac-12 tournament. Colorado, 31% from three. Oregon, who looked amazing against Iowa, 24% from three. And UCLA, only 25% from three on their way to the championship. And so far in the tournament, Tennessee, 19%. Oklahoma State, 27%. This game is landing under 125.5. I'm going to call it right now. Game lands at 115.
Whoa, 115. Whoa. So like 60 to 55, something like that.
Sounds good.
I like that though.
Interesting.
That's a good one.
I was just handed a note. The day Sister Jean was born, August 21st, 1919, Babe Ruth tripled and drove in two runs for the Red Sox. And apparently Harry had actually bet the Red Sox. He parlayed it with the Boston Braves though, so he lost. Oh, the Buffalo Braves. I don't know. I screwed that up. Whatever. Parlay Kid, if you're a player, if you're Cameron Krutwig, are you getting a little annoyed that Sister Jean is getting all the credit for this team? Like, yeah, we're busting our asses playing defense and running up a court against, you know, players who are much more athletic than we are. And we're coming away and she's just sitting in a chair waving. I'm sorry. It would bother me.
I haven't thought about this, but
you should. Everyone should think about it.
It's true. I guess they're probably a little teed off about it, but they seem to be some humble kids. So, you know, where they are. So maybe, maybe not. They seem to be a good group of kids and they've bought into what their coach preaches. So, and obviously bought into what sister preaches too. So,
Jim, you're trying to get that picture up. Show Harry's brother and Cameron Krutwig. It's pretty close. It's not that far off, Harry. Your brother, there he is, your dear brother, Scott Gagnon. And oh man, really, if there's a movie, I don't know if they ever do this. Could Scott do it? Could he lose like 270 pounds? And
Scott's got to trim up the mustache a little bit, right?
Well, that's the least of his worries, I think, in order for him to do this. But wow.
That's why
Scott can shoot too.
I passed that comment. If Krutwig was a foot shorter, right, he'd be picking onions.
You know? Oh my God.
That's so good.
Right, go back to that last picture, Jim, the Halloween one.
That's good. Look at that. That's good.
Harry, you're like 100 pounds lighter in that one.
I do.
120.
Harry, by the way, you're the
Chicago, too. Look, he's in from Chicago right there.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that. Harry, the Gagnon similarities don't end with Krutwig and Scott. I saw your dad a lot in Coach Huggins, like your dad from like maybe 20
you know what?
Years ago.
I swear to God, I thought about that the other day, too.
Yeah.
The little extra long hair and just the look. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just kind of like sloppy. Yeah.
Sloppy.
All right. Let's go over this. Second game, Fuckers. Baylor -6.5. 140.5 Villanova. Surprise at Villanova here. They went easy. 73-63, 84-61. They never let North Texas in the game. Obviously, Jay Wright's doing it without his star, Colin Gillespie, who my co-host Rachel Bonetta, for no reason, pronounces Giuseppe and tells us we're wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Gillespie. The over is 8-2 in the last 10 for Baylor.
Yeah.
They've scored at least 72 in 23 games this year. Number one in 3-point accuracy. I think it all catches up to Villanova, and I don't mind laying the big number. Parley Kid, you agree?
I do agree here, Sal. Is Baylor back to playing the way they were playing midseason? I mean, it's hard to judge off two games. But you could say the same thing for Villanova and then really look at Villanova and say, well, they've beaten Winthrop in North Texas so far, right? Mm-hmm. So they maybe haven't really been challenged yet. They've been fortunate, and I think it shows in their shooting. They normally shoot 36%. They're shooting from three. They're shooting 42% so far in this tournament. So a little bit above, well, pretty much well above of their average. Baylor is third in the country in forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. I think this is where it catches up to Villanova not having Gillespie around to handle the ball. And Baylor, Harry just talked about applying some pressure, you know, like Illinois not doing it. Baylor likes to do it in the backcourt. They're going to put some pressure on these guards on Villanova. They're going to capitalize. And I actually think they win this game by double digits, Sal.
Yeah, I do too. Bri, just too many points for Baylor, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. But is it going to be one of those just Nova just continues to kill me, right? Like I went heavy on Winthrop with the points. Then I was like, fuck it, I'm going heavy on North Texas with the points. But going back, it's like really dumb to go against Jay Wright against these, you know, it's such a disciplined team versus these, you know, overmatched teams. I do think in this one, though, Baylor will, you know, they're going to have the better players on the floor. And they just looked... You know, they kind of look like they got back to their old selves in that Wisconsin game. I do think the one thing about Baylor during the year, too, is they go on some crazy runs, especially in the second half. And I do get the sense this could be a close game for a while, but then Baylor just kind of opens it up late.
All right. I'll go with that. I mean, I think I have a couple of things in our futures draft pool. I have Baylor. Is everybody else? I know, Jim, you lost all three now, right? Jim Cunningham, you had Oklahoma, you had West Virginia. And who else?
Ohio State. Yep. All gone.
And you and who do you blame for that, Jim?
Harry.
Sister Jean.
No, you were blaming Tate.
I'm not
day,
even
right?
bringing his name up.
Oh, I see. He doesn't even get that. Jim said earlier, I don't know where he told me. He's like, I don't know anything about this shit. I asked Tate. He's supposed to be an expert, right?
Exactly. He said it was all set up. He's like, yeah, it's in the Midwest. Gonzaga's not going to get out of the first or second round, blah, blah, blah. I'm
wow.
Like, really? Yeah.
I'll say this.
He also, Jimmy also said North Texas had no shot, right?
I don't know.
It's a lot. It's tough. It's tough to keep track of the bad predictions here. Arkansas 11.5, 159 over Oral Roberts. So this is back to Tate for a minute. we have this elimination pool that Harry just he left, and it was, and poor Parlay Kid kind of got screwed over here. But I don't know any way around. I'm trying to figure out. I don't want to go through all the rules here. But here's what happened. Parlay Kid got screwed over because of COVID thing. He had Oregon, but so he had to take someone with similar odds that alphabetically, and you were left with who? UConn, Parlay Kid? I don't know.
I was given BYU in that game.
BYU.
Yeah, I really didn't have a choice in the matter. But I talked to Jamie, and look, the rules were the rules. They were set forth. He had them explained. Yeah. I can't complain. I cannot complain about it.
You're a good man. All right. Because this is tough to run, and it's also – but anyway, so I was out of it. Tate was out of it. I got crushed. I had Texas and Virginia. So I lost that Saturday. So was that what it was? Yeah, whatever. The second day. Tate tries to buy back in after – losing Friday and not doing anything Saturday. And Jamie's like, you can't do that. We haven't done that. You have to, if you buy back in, you have to buy. So I'm on all these emails. I'm like, well, I'm allowed to buy back in because I just lost. So Tate, let's take your five that you were going to go. We can't go Arkansas. We can't go. I forgot who we couldn't go. But so I replaced it with Arkansas. One of the teams is Oral Roberts that Tate picks. I was like, all right, so this is a waste of $50 to buy back in. And the parlay would have paid 41-1 odds. So do we do the parlay? No, of course we don't do the parlay. We put the submission in. We go 5-for-5. We're back in the pool, except I had $2,000 on Florida money line over all odds. So I can't get out of my own goddamn way when it comes to this. Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, I put one foot in front of the other here. It's so stupid.
It is really funny though, right, Sal? Because you're like, I mean, if you win this pool, you know,
it's nothing.
You know, whatever it is. But like, if you put just that $50 on those five teams, you would have won more than you would have won for the pool.
Yeah. Someone bought back in yesterday, went 6-for-6, would have paid like 7-to-1. Like, that's more than
so much less aggravation.
I know you don't seem aggravated at all, Harry.
I'm not, because I didn't get in the context. I knew this was going to happen.
You were crying for the first 20 minutes of this podcast. Crazy. It all gets buried. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Arkansas 11.5, 159, Oral Roberts. Brother Bri, you are going with the underdog, and Max Asemus, even though there's a B in his name, this guy averages more points than anyone in the country. You like Oral Roberts in the big number.
Yeah, I like the 11.5. I think it's going to, you know, both teams are top 20 scoring teams. I think it's going to be high scoring. Full disclosure, I did jump on Florida Gulf Coast years ago against Florida in the Sweet 16 and when we were in Vegas, Sal, and that didn't go well for me. But I will say this Oral Roberts team, it's a little bit different than years past, right? Their early non-conference games, they played Missouri, Wichita State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Arkansas. And a lot of those games, I mean, one or two of them were blowouts, but a lot of them were competitive games. In the first matchup against Arkansas, right, they led by as many as 12. Oral Roberts did. They led for three quarters of that game. It took a huge Arkansas second half to actually win that game. So at this point, you'd have to say Oral Roberts, from the beginning of the year where they struggled, they're significantly better team. Asemus was really, I think he was poor in the first meeting too, but you have two of the best scorers in the country. O'Banner's been, he looks like one of the best players in the country just overall. You know, when there's a wide open three, it seems like he's going to make it. I think they keep this within the 11.5. I mean, this is a game, like, if you said now Oral Roberts wins this game, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked, but 11.5 points seems like a lot. So I think I have to take that here.
It is a lot. They're good. They have some scorers. They're 6-0 against the number. I could see it like 83-75 kind of final. 11.5 is a lot for Arkansas. I like Oral Roberts being around. The Oral jokes, there's no shortage of the Oral jokes. It's terrific. I think Kevin Hench had the best in a text exchange. I'm going to blow it out here, but he says, Oral gave all of our brackets anal today. Mm-hmm. Oral Roberts gave all of them. But anyway, I like them plus the points. Arkansas is fun. Was Arkansas Texas Tech the best game in the tournament? I'm trying to figure out. All the yesterday games were shit. What was the best game of the tournament so far? That was a very good one.
That was a really good one.
Couple went to overtime.
That UCSB one was good.
Oh, that was good. Harry, you liked that one, right? That was a fun game. All right, Harry, you're going over in this game.
First, how in the world did this Oral Roberts team finish fourth in the Summit Conference? Amazing, honestly. Yeah. I mean, Ace Miss and O'Banner have been phenomenal. O'Banner, 58 points in two games. Last 11 games for Oral Roberts, they've averaged 84 points. Plus, it matters down the stretch here. Their top three scorers shoot 89% or better from the free throw line. Meanwhile, Arkansas plays at a high tempo as well, 85 points or more. In 12 games this year, senior Justin Smith has been the go-to guy so far in the tournament. He scored 20 or more points, three straight games. He's 28 of 41 in his last three games from the field. And I mentioned last Thursday, freshman Moses Moody, who I thought is going to have a big tournament, hasn't had that big of a tournament. He had like 12 points and 15 points. I expect him to have a big game against Oral Roberts, score some points. So over 159.5 is the play here.
All right. It's a lot of points for a game like this. But either way, Coach Musselman is doing a terrific job. Bang up job by Musselman. Only good things to say about him. All right, Harry, your team. Syracuse, 6-point underdog to Houston. The Cougars, 140 is the over-under. Went down from 140.5 from last night. This is a stay away for me, at least as far as, you know, what is this, Tuesday morning we're recording this? I hate this. I hate watching these Syracuse games. I don't know. Probably kid, does the zone have to eat everybody up the first 12 minutes of the game? I get what everyone's saying that when you have one day to prepare for Syracuse, yeah. But Harry's father, Bob Huggins, 2002, Bob Huggins, I don't know. Why does it have to be 26-14 before everyone figures out the zone?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Bayham is on record just the other day as saying that that's why they don't play as well in their conference, because the teams kind of have his zone figured out. So there's, you know, a little advantage here in the tournament for him. It should not be that difficult to figure out. A lot of these teams, they'll put a guy in the middle of the zone that's really not a shooter. They'll put the big man in the middle. You really should probably put a guard in the middle of that zone who can turn, face the basket, dish, or basically shoot a free throw, and you'll have a lot more success. So I think you might see that. If you're asking me in this game, so if I can just do my pick right here, can I roll right into that, Sal? I am taking Houston here. At -6, I think Kelvin Sampson is a very good coach. I know Harry's not a big fan of Kelvin Sampson, but
he's a cheater.
Oh boy, this is bad. I mean,
Syracuse has had
Darren. You're a coach of 30 years. Come on,
wait a minute. Oklahoma. You can't throw darts.
Ruined
Harry.
Ruined two Syracuse schools. Even in the pros, he was a scum when he was an assistant coach.
Oh, my God. I mean, poor Todd Furman. He says, what did he say?
Harry has been just vicious the last couple of days.
I know.
The language.
You don't get, listen, you don't, if you don't get three assists, I turn into a nasty guy.
But look, I like Houston here just for the fact that I think that win against Rutgers was a good win. They had to grind it out. Yeah. Right? They scored their season low, 63 points, and still pulled out a victory. Mm-hmm. Syracuse is hot, but the Cougars have now won 9 straight themselves. And here's the thing I think we have to look at. Syracuse is shooting 50% from 3, and they're shooting like 54% overall from the field in this tournament so far. What goes up must come down. The Cougars play at kind of a they can play a stifling defense. They're going to get out on the shooters better than the other teams have. If Syracuse cannot keep this shooting pace up, they will not win this game. I think the Cougars get a late cover here.
Oh.
And they cover the 6.
All right, Harry. There you go. It's a pretty good argument Parlay Kid made for
Houston.
Pretty
good. Pretty good. But then again, you know, we're talking about the player of the tournament. Buddy Boeheim lighting it up still. 55 in the tournament, hitting threes all over the place. He's got 113 points in his last 4 games. I said last pod in 2016, they made a run like this as a 10 seed. And as 11 seed, they're doing just fine here. The 2-3 zone can work, especially against teams like San Diego State, who were not familiar with it, that come out of the Mountain West. Houston fits that situation a little bit, too. I don't know, Darren, if they're going to...
Sampson's going to have them ready.
That's true, but I don't know if they're going to get out on the, you know, if they're going to be able to go out and defend Syracuse like you say they're going to defensively. I don't know. Cuse has to rebound, especially, and not allow too many second chances opportunities. Houston is good down low, but they're not that good of a shooting team. Syracuse plus six against a the Athletic American Athletic Conference that doesn't see this either. Take Syracuse plus the six. They've got the, and plus they've got the history on their side too.
All right, brother Brian. I think we play guess the lines almost as soon as the matchups bear out, and we were very also surprised. I think this opened at seven in some spots.
Yeah,
I think I guessed like two.
I think I guessed even the lower number because I was like right away. I think watching the Cuse game and then watching Houston and Rutgers, I'm like, oh my God, Syracuse is going to win this next game too. But I think you're going to know. It's funny. I think in the Cuse Loyola games, you kind of know right away how that those games are going, right? If Cuse is up like six or eight early, you're like, oh, fuck, like it's going to. They're going to cover that number, you know?
Right.
Brian, when Syracuse played San Diego State, I know the zone was working, but for a lot of times in that first half, San Diego State had a lot of open looks. They just could knock down anything in the last 7 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, I mean, if you move the ball well, you're going to get plenty of open looks. Yeah, it's just I guess it's just such a fast pace. It's just hard for these kids to make the shots against that D.
All right, so those are the Saturday games. We'll hit you with the Sunday games on Thursday. Yes, the tournament down to just 16 teams. And if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking you up with exclusive 30-1 odds on all 16 teams left in the bracket. All right, let me do the math there. 30. If you can get 30-1 on all six, no, that's no good, right, Harry? That's like if roulette offered 70-1 on every number. Does that make sense?
I wish.
How do they do it, FanDuel? Even the top seeds, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game this round. All right. Arkansas over Oral Roberts, 30-1. Do it. $150 on a $5 bet. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 30-1 odds. App is so easy to use. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code against all odds. So they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code against all odds. Hey, both MVP and Rookie of the Year awards were shucking up in a big way this weekend when a high ankle sprain for LeBron and LaMelo, fractured wrist, out for the year, shakes up the MVP odds. Jokic minus 110 now is the favorite. Embiid, who is supposed to come back soon, and LBJ, who we don't know is coming back when, 6-1 odds. Giannis plus 650. Lillard and Harden 11-1. And Luka, who went into this thing as the favorite, is 14-1 odds. Parlay Kid, I've heard a couple people talk about this. Tell me how Dame Lillard can win MVP.
Sal, I've been on Lillard really since the beginning of the year. I think when we first, before the season started, I think you guys can refresh my memory. I gave him out at either 30 or 40-1, I think, for MVP odds. And I think then when Jerry was hosting the show, I think I gave him at 19-1 odds. Now he's sitting at 11-1 odds. I think it's kind of strange because I think tonight itself is kind of a big matchup between Lillard and Harden tonight, both sitting at 11-1. So I think the winner of tonight is going to go up. You know, the odds might change depending. Lillard, look, he's averaging over 30 points a game. He averages 7.5 assists a game, almost 4.5 rebounds a game. I also think he is still going to be good down the stretch here, right? For about 3 or 4 40-plus games. That's just the way he plays, right? So I think this is the best 11-1. It's only going to get like 8-1, 7-1. He's second in the NBA.com Kia MVP ladder.
Whoa. So
they have him ranked second. If that means anything to anybody, it really doesn't mean that much to me. But
that sounds like something I would come up with. What was that?
Exactly. Look, I was doing some research to see where he falls. And so in some circles, he's as high as like the second leading MVP candidate right now. I think at 11-1, he's going to have a game. He's going to have like a 50-point game sprinkled in here with some 40-point games. Grab him now at 11-1. I think if they go forward and win 44 games Portland, and they have close to a 600 winning percentage,
Well, he's so that's great, the thing, right? So now. Portland has to do well too, usually, because so they're close to 600 right now, 60%, right. 25 and 17.
With CJ McCollum back, I think they can keep, you know, I think they'll end up somewhere in that range, Sal, and that's 600%.
I wonder if they're a six seed, if that's good enough, but it could, because they could be right there with a six seed with that record, but that's
Well, because we're talking Jokic is in the same spot, right? But he's such an overwhelming favorite right now, and his team has the same record as Portland.
This is such a weird year. I mean, last year it was Giannis almost all the way through. It was a little bit close, but then he had the All-Star. Everyone saw him dunk in the All-Star break. This is 2 years ago, and he won it. This is tough. I'm going the other way. Brian, I'm going with you with Harden. Kind of the same. Well, first of all, LeBron could come back tomorrow, right? They could inject him with something like, oh, what, you know, it's going to be a Space Jam 2 kind of thing where he just like – just kind of shakes it off and is back in. Right. Harden's getting 38 minutes. He's a workhorse this year. 2 weeks ago, he had three triple doubles in a row. He's getting his shots. I mean, that was a concern, right, with this team. Durant's not in there now, but with this crazy team, he's getting 8 or 9 threes he's able to put up per game. And I just feel like the parlay kid, he's going to go 5 straight with 40 games. I think it's coming. What do you think, Bri?
Yeah, I like that. I like any of these long odds. You know, I like Giannis a little bit, although I don't think I like those odds, but I don't think he's going to win. But I do like Lillard, Harden, even Luka, because Luka's mm-hmm. been fantastic. Dallas has been one of the best teams over the last probably 10 to 15 games, and his numbers have been outstanding. So I think you have to look seriously at Harden, Dame, Luka at this point. But you're right, Sal. I mean, I think even in this month alone, Harden's had 5 triple-doubles. I mean, he's mm-hmm. had some crazy triple-double games. But he's keeping everything under control, right? He's been the man there. Yeah. They've been forced to play some games with no names. I mean, I know they still have some other players on that team, but there's been games where their lineups or the guys coming off the bench are, you know, you never heard of some of these guys. And even with Kyrie on the floor, you know, Harden's been that stabilizing force. Well, I mean, they're the top of the East. You know, they're right at the top. They're a game back, and it's definitely because of Harden. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't get votes because either Kyrie or people just don't like the way he handled the Houston situation.
Yeah, but right.
I just think at the current odds,
yeah,
I think you have to really take it seriously. I know Perkins and Gina, I know they've been touting him too for weeks here as well, but I think his odds should be a little lower at this point.
You blur your eyes. They're in first place. They're in first place since he got there, right?
Yeah.
He's on he has crazy games every night, and he's 11-1 odds. I don't know. Just would make
I sure. think the next three Harden. Games are telling because Kyrie's right. not playing in the next three games.
Yep.
So,
for sure.
At least the next three games. So if Harden goes 3-0 without Kyrie or Durant here, those 11-1 odds are going to seriously be sitting at like 5-1, if not.
Yeah.
Better in these after these three games.
All right, Harry, we mentioned Giannis and you like him at plus 650. He sat yesterday and they won by 40 Milwaukee, which prompted Skip Bayless to say, Giannis sits and they win by 40. I don't know what he's saying. They were 9-1 the last 10. Anyway, Giannis plus 650. The knock against it is they don't usually give it 3 years in a row. They're only Larry Bird and only a few players have done it, and that's why he wasn't favored even going into the year. But you like him right now.
Well, I'll make a case for him. By the way, Darren, I hope you're right at least tonight about Lillard scoring big. I'm going for 5 in a row on extrapoints.com.
Oh,
I do have the Blazers -2, but I will take Giannis. Make a case for Milwaukee. It's only 1.5 back of Philly after going, like you mentioned, Sal, 9-1 the last 10. They have the best point differential in the Eastern Conference, a lot because of Giannis. He's in the top 5 in scoring and rebounds. Embiid is not. And in 40 games that he's played this year, he's led Milwaukee in points, rebounds, and assists in the game in 17 of them. He's led in two of three of those categories in 33 of 40 games. Embiid, 2 of 3, just 15. Lillard, just 25. So with only being a game and a half back of Philly and making a run, Giannis is definitely a candidate.
All right. Well, I think what we prove is there's like 7 really great players in the NBA, and 2 of them are hurt right now. So it's anyone's game here. But there is some value out there in Harden and Dame and in Giannis. Now, rookie of the year, different story. LaMelo Ball, just lighting the world on fire. The greatest thing anyone's ever seen. Runaway. I looked the morning that he got hurt. He was minus 550 to win the award for Rookie of the Year. And now Edwards is the favorite at minus 210. LaMelo is out with a fractured wrist. Halliburton, 5-1 odds. Quickly, if he would have had a little quicker of a start, maybe Parlay Kid, Brother Bri, might have been in the running, 24-1. And Wiseman, who was top three to start the year, 65-1. He's another one. He's been hurt too, right? I feel like he's lost some games. But Brother Bri, you're going with LaMelo. Our friend Alec bombards us with LaMelo text. I don't know what it is. I feel like I have one less job now. I don't have to fill the LaMelo or something. Like, oh my God, this is great. We got a little vacation. You still think he's done enough though?
I think so. It's weird to think, right? There's like 30 games left, right? And I'm already crowning him the winner. But I do think at 2-1, it's still worth it. Edwards at minus 210 might be, I don't know, it's a little risky. I know he's been improving. I think he's averaging 25 points a game, but and he's going to be a big-time scorer in the NBA. His shooting is still, I mean, they're playing on a poor team. He gets to shoot 30 times a night. His team's not winning. His team's not winning. I don't know, although you could say a few more multiple 30-point games, he'll probably get the votes. I just think overall, LaMelo, he's exceeded everybody's expectations, was better than everybody thought. For the most part, his numbers were great, especially once he became a starter. So I don't think they're necessarily going to punish him for a late season injury. I know we were bitching about this last year with Zion having a potential shot of winning it with so few games, but he started so late and Morant was so good. So
and he ended up getting third. He was third, right?
And ended up getting third. But yeah, I think LaMelo's done enough numbers wise that at 2-1, I think it's still worth it.
16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, about a steal and a half per game. And this is what I think you have going for you. He won back-to-back Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month awards in January and February. Yeah. Parlay Kid, you agree it's LaMelo's to lose and you don't even have to do anything.
Yeah, like Brian is saying, I was all over Morant last year and said, no way can Zion win this Rookie of the Year award.
Right.
But I, you know, at that point, I think the difference is, and I know Shannon Sharp was saying there's no way LaMelo could win with this injury now. But I think it was a little different because of the, you know, we were talking last year about the grind of the season. LaMelo was kind of in this grind of the season already, and he took a team that was kind of irrelevant and made them relevant. Whereas the Houston Rockets lost 20 straight games, and they still don't have the worst record in the NBA because that belongs to Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota T-Wolves. So he has the luxury of playing on a team where he can hoist up 20 to 30 shots a game. Nobody seems to care over there. And that's the luxury that he has. I know Kendrick Perkins is all about him right now. Yeah. But I think LaMelo did enough. And he's getting second opinions right now. Do not be surprised if he comes back for the last 5 or 6 games, does okay, and that vaults him over the top here. I know people saying his season looks like it's over. It might not be. Okay. We just had a wrestler with no ACLs win the NCAA wrestling tournament. LaMelo Ball could possibly come back late season for a little flurry here to maybe put the Hornets into a playoff situation or not seal a playoff situation for them late. So I would take him. I don't love the minus 210 for Edwards.
All right, we're making news. Dave Damashek made news that Brad Stevens is going to Indiana. Parlay Kid is saying LaMelo Ball will be back in May to bring the Hornets to that 8 seed, get them in there. I'll say this. I don't know how, and Harry, you're going to take Edwards here, and I agree. And D'Angelo Russell says Edwards is the rookie of the year. I love when that shit happens. he's played 41 out of what's going to be 72 games, right? He's played 57% of the games. And that wouldn't get you the award in any other sport, right? Joe Burrow plays 9 games. He's not getting it before he gets hurt.
Yeah.
2 years ago, Pete Alonso plays 90 games. I wonder if there should be a minimum. I wonder if there should be a minimum percentage. And by the way, I think it was 1992 when Dave Magadan had less than 400 plate appearances, but batted, I don't know what year it was. Remember that year? What was the year? 1990. I think he batted like 320. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, there was a minimum plate appearance thing and he lost out. I don't know, Harry. You like Edwards here? I feel like 31 games is a lot to miss in a full season.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, Sal, ball 16-6-6, better than what I've expected too, but going to miss a ton of games here. 30's a lot. And probably kidding, and Brian, exaggerating a little bit on Edwards with 30 shots a game. He's getting 17-5-3, but over his last 10 games, he's averaging 25 points a game, and he had his best week as a rookie last week. A three-game stretch. He had 34 versus Portland, 29 versus the Lakers, and a career high 42 in a win at Phoenix. Edwards is only getting better. Ball missing that many games. I think it's Edwards is here at -210.
All right. Well, the important thing is Joel Solomon just cashed in on a bet. He said he had over 1.5 NCAA wrestling references by the Parlay Kids, and that just at the 54-minute mark, it happened. Good job by you, Joel.
Darren, by the way, I did turn to that. I was flipping around on Saturday, and I did flip around. I did see it. I watched about 30 seconds, and I'm sorry. It was awful. It was boring.
Harry, have some more respect for these guys. They're absolutely
I'm not saying they're not
phenomenal.
Athletes. They're amazing, but watching is awful.
By the way, Harry wouldn't even be able to make a weight class.
He wouldn't?
Funny? He wouldn't, right? He wouldn't, right? He would, heavyweight.
Why not?
Heavyweight's 265. He's over that.
265 to what? Can you be 270?
No, you can't.
No, that's the limit.
Yeah,
that's the limit.
That's
another reason why wrestling's stupid then.
Whether it's gambling or weight, he disregards limits. He doesn't care. he has those all released. All right, Sharp Tank, let's get out of here. Three best bets. I'm going to jump on one. Harry, you are taking NIT action later in the week.
Yeah, I'm going to on Thursday. I hit my NIT for the Sharp Tank last Thursday with SMU. I'm going to jump back on. I'm going to take Colorado State, the Rams, -108. Well, it's a pick, but -108 versus NC State. The Wolfpack just 14-10. Rams 19-6. NC State had a stretch during the season where they just went 2-8. The Rams have four players who average 10 points or more. As a team, they shoot 47% from the field. They're an 80% free throw shooting team. They've held opponents to 62 points or less in more than half their games this season. Give me Colorado State -108. Basically a pick against NC State.
All right. Brother Bri, what you got?
All right. Well, this is kind of a last minute thing. So I was planning on taking Boise State, getting 4.5 against Memphis, but I'm going to change it up. I was just checking the odds and I was like, you know what? There's golf starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Golf starting tomorrow.
Match play, baby.
I'm going to take in the first round, I'm going to take Patrick Reed -110 over Bubba Watson. A tie here is a loss. I will say if you're looking on FanDuel. But yeah, Patrick Reed historically pretty good in match play. And then when you look at Watson, just he's been terrible for the last. I mean, since the start of this year, right? He's in five tournaments, he's missed the cut three times. The other time he finished 22nd and 54th, but missing the cut three out of five tournaments to start the year. I think that number seems low, so I'm going to jump on. Fat Patrick.
Wow! All right.
I usually hate him, but I'm going with him.
Wow!
Now, how are they doing this? They're because I bet
it's Bryson, really weird
on Fox Bet Live. I bet Bryson today to make the quarterfinals at +220 or something. Harry, didn't I bet that? I forgot what I did. How do they do it? How many golfers are there?
Is it well, six?
Sixty-four, right?
Yeah, it's like a regular bracket.
64.
So there's 16 groups of four, right? And then one advances out of the four.
Okay, so you get 16 winners, one from each group.
So you have Bryson winning his group, Sal? Is that what you have?
I probably should have looked at it more closely.
Well, you have Bryson winning his group, and then he's got to win, the quarterfinals are what, Friday, Harry?
Yeah. So to get through Friday.
Winning, okay.
No, he's got to get through tomorrow and Thursday.
He's got to get through his group,
I have Bryson winning his group this week. That's what
you
I
do.
Have.
All yeah. right. Okay. So
you're
that.
In good shape. I nail every golf bet. So
nice. Well, but then
Russell Henley, Darren, good one.
Quite the contrary, though, with UFC. You could just go golf here, Parlay Kid, and get a win.
Well, I probably will come back to golf later in the week because my Sharp Tank golf have been hitting. We hit with Henley top five and miraculously went from, what was he, Harry, like 13th late on Sunday. He all of a sudden with a birdie or two down the last few holes. He jumps back into the top five. Got a little lucky with that.
I didn't even want to jinx you. He had like a 40 or 50 footer on like 13, I think. And I was like, wow, this is good. He's back in.
It was amazing. Right. So I was
already on 18 to get the top five.
And that was nice. So appreciate that. I've been, you know, lucky, probably lucky with the golf, but I'm coming out of retirement here to take UFC. So we got a big fight this weekend with Stipe and Ngannou. Look, probably one of my biggest wins ever was Stipe in the first go around between these two. Yep. And so, look, here's the deal. And I know a couple weeks ago, Blades kind of screwed me with this, my philosophy on this, but I'm going to take the guy who's just the better all around fighter
in
these fights. Okay. he's plus 104 on FanDuel. If Ngannou doesn't get him out in the first or maybe second round, this fight is Stipe's. I'm betting on that Stipe will be smart enough. He's the better wrestler here. And we've seen how frustrating is it to be on the other side of these fights when you have the guy who, you know, you don't have the wrestler and you see the other guy on the mat 90% of the fight just getting controlled. And you're like, why did I bet this guy? We saw it this week with Brunson and Holland.
Right.
We saw it. It was ridiculous. So just take the better wrestler here. Take Stipe plus 104. I think the guy he'll get it done again.
All right. I was looking at this match. And first of all, the question is he a new fighter since he lost the first time, right? He's got a 20-second win. He's got a 71-second win. He's got a 26-second win. He's crushed everybody, right? His last four matches haven't gone a minute and a half.
Well,
so,
right after the Stipe fight, right? What was
he
the
lost
fight?
To Derek Lewis? Yeah,
it was Lewis, and that was like one of the worst all time fights, right, in UFC history. I think that's why everybody was down on Ngannou, right? Because they both threw like 10 punches, and Ngannou threw like 3 in that whole fight. But he's been great, but.
So here's what I'm thinking, though. I'll get back to your bet, but the over under 4.5 rounds was minus 400. And I was like, oh, yeah, these guys will kill each other. But really, it's all Stipe could just like wrestle. He could be happy just wrestling. Isn't that a hefty plus for the decision, Bri?
Yeah, especially with the way the first fight went. It was just, you know, Stipe just controlled that and he was very smart about it. And I would think he's going to be very smart about it again. There's no point of him standing there and trading punches with him the whole time. Maybe late, you know, if Ngannou's really wild and tired, you know. But
I mean, I think Ngannou tires early. Like, I mean, go after all these guys like he did in the first minute. And then if he can't strike gold, like, it's just like Stipe's going to out-wrestle him. I'm going to go with you, Parlay Kid. I think a decision after five rounds for Stipe.
You know, Stipe's getting older, Sal, but... and you know, I was all over Cormier in his last fight, and he was masterful in that second fight against Cormier. Masterful. So
yeah, definitely. That was great. And this is the first new opponent in the heavyweight championship. I'm not saying this right, in years now, right? Stipe. Yeah, it's been like over 2 years, I think, since there's been a different opponent.
Thanks, guys. I need Ngannou for 600. Thanks, guys.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
You didn't realize they fought once already.
I took Ngannou because last fight, if there were 10 guys in the ring in the octagon, he would have killed all of them. He was so good. I mean, why is he minus one? I didn't understand the line minus one.
Is that how it works?
Get it a little more.
Is that
than
how
you,
they
but,
do it? If they put it up like, hey, well, yeah, but if it was 10 guys in the octagon,
well,
it would have won.
Listen, that's what this I need.
Not,
you guys are going against
this
me.
Not
all right.
Match play at the Dell Technology, Harry. It's one.
Well, last time we were talking about this fight, you guys were praising Ngannou how great he is.
I don't remember.
He is very good.
I don't even think we had a podcast back.
He is very good. It's just the first fight was so dominating. It's hard with the odds that you get. It's hard to back Ngannou in this one.
Did Nagano go to Syracuse? What am I missing here?
All right. I think he went to Toro Law School, actually.
Ah, you son of a bitch. All right, Harry, what do you got going on? At AAO Harry, right?
At AAO Harry, definitely if you want more golf picks, Parlay Kid on Best Bet Corner. It's been hot. We got many picks for the match play, and just going to watch games. By the way, watch games this weekend, but Sal, I might be in California this weekend.
Oh, no.
What do you got going on? I got to come up and see the boys.
Nothing, but we got a lot of comments on Harry doing his Syracuse pick from the, you know, the produce section in a grocery store, unmasked. Right, Jim Cunningham? What happened there? Harry,
unmasked at midnight.
What? The virus knows what time it is? It's like, everybody's good.
Nobody's around.
I think what someone said Harry's not wearing a mask at the grocery store. Gross.
somebody also said it's the first time he's ever seen fruit.
That's true.
It was funny because somebody sent an SNL video from a few weeks ago that was fantastic. It was spot on. It was people making a video in a grocery store with no masks on. It was so good.
That's good. Okay. And Harry and Jim Cunningham put together a nice thing of Harry. Well, God damn it. It looks like Harry all orange smacking around in West Virginia. Oh,
that was so good.
It was really funny. Jim, you're at the Eyes Are Ones while we have you here, right?
Yep, at Jim Cunningham and the Eyes Are Ones.
All right. Brother Bry at the Brother Bry.
Yep. I'll be watching women's basketball today because there's nothing else on. And I'll look forward to a little bit of a break tomorrow, I guess.
All right. Parlay Kid, happy birthday. 51. Good job by you.
Thanks, Sal.
It's a tough year.
Happy birthday, pal.
You did it. And would you celebrate it by watching your favorite Kellyanne Conway on American Idol? I don't know. What did you do?
I was just watching sports all last night. I have been watching American Idol. I think it was on last night. I have it recorded. I have to watch that tonight, too. I'm back in. I haven't watched it. I can't tell you when the last time I watched it, but it was a lot of talent this year. A lot of talent.
Mm. It probably was that Daughtry year.
It probably was around Daughtry. Yeah, probably was around Harry's Daughtry. Have not watched it, but I am really into it. There should be some odds on.
There used to be the illegal offshores would have it what was his name? The Clay Aiken days and the Ruben Studdard days and the heyday of American Idol. I swear to God, they had odds on it. But
Clay Aiken's in my top five of all time.
And I tell you what, we have some guys that are really into wrestling. I wasn't listening to what Harry said. I'm sorry. We have some guys that really into wrestling. They're going to be who listen to our podcast. They are going to be upset with Harry. Upset.
That tournament
is unbelievable. Fantastic.
Listen, you want the winning school, Darren? I'm giving it to you right now. Iowa State. There you go. Mm. All right.
Wow.
It was actually Iowa, but
you do get a lot.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying. Oh, it's over. Okay, good.
Clay Aiken did place fourth in the Nationals at 129 for Lock Haven. So, not many people know that. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Against the Odds. Check me out, Fox Bet Live, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern on FS1 for the Degenerate Trifecta. Heel producer Jim Cunningham. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.